Well, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As I mentioned last week, we're coming to the end of this wonderful epistle. And let's see what wonderful things the Lord has in it for us today. Philippians chapter 4, our focus will be on verse 19. And before we hear the preaching of his word, let's go before him once again in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you that you have so graciously given us your word. Oh Lord, we pray that you would grant us your spirit, and that you would teach us this day from your word, that we would leave this place a changed people by the power and work of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. There we read, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Beloved in Christ, by the grace and work of God, the saints in Philippi were generous givers. They were faithful, caring supporters of Paul and his ministry. They went the extra mile to make sure Paul's necessities were taken care of time and again. Paul reflected on this in the context to today's verse, in verses 14 through 18 of this chapter, when he said, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." You know, as thankful as Paul was, as full as he was from what they had given, he also wanted the people to be encouraged and to have uplifted hearts to the Lord of glory. For as they were selflessly generous to Paul, he promised that God would provide for all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so in verse 19, we see the great divine supplier and his rich supply. We also see our Lord Jesus Christ, the one by whom this supply is given. And so as Paul begins, notice that he makes note of the wonderful personal relationship he has with God. He says, "My God." And these two words communicate a deep relationship, but also Paul's confidence in the Lord that he would fulfill his promises. Paul had extensive experience with the care and provision of the Lord. He learned much in the school of Christ to be content. He could testify of God's goodness in using various means and people to provide for Paul's needs, including, as we are well aware, the Philippians themselves. The Philippians didn't have much, but they gave of what they had, and that was meaningful and helpful. And so Paul had good reason to be confident in the Lord. You know, God doesn't have to negotiate with large distributors to order and provide need. He doesn't make treaties or contracts and have to wait for shipments as if he were some lesser entity. Psalm 50 tells us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The world is his and all its fullness. Immeasurably vast are his storehouses. And in addition, God is the inexhaustible source. He is the one who is limitless in his resources and abundant in his supply of what he will provide for his church. Further, God promises to provide for his people. It's in his nature to provide. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. He will give what is needed, when it's needed, in the right amount, and in the best way. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 10. He said there, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" My friends, it's a pleasure and joy for a father to give his children good things. Fathers love to provide for the needs of their children. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He delights in giving good things to us. God glorifies himself by giving to his church what they need when they need it. But notice also what Paul says. He says he will supply. God's supply is certain. Will supply here is actually one Greek word that literally means to make full, to fill to the brim. The psalmist in Psalm 84:11 said, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." David said in Psalm 34:9 and 10, "O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Beloved, we are called to fear the Lord. And God promises to provide for those who fear and seek him. There is no hesitancy on the part of God to provide and give to his flock. That is true. When he supplies, he isn't only putting $10 in the gas tank and calling it good. He isn't putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. When God supplies, nothing is lacking. Let me say that again. When God supplies, nothing is lacking. Amen. Our need can never overwhelm his supply. His provision is full and complete. And sometimes I think we need to think about that further. Because sometimes we may have a cognitive assent in that understanding that our need can never overwhelm his supply, but sometimes in the moment our need feels very great. Sometimes it feels that our need is overwhelming to us, and in fact, in some occasions it may very well be. But it never, never can overwhelm his supply. It is full and complete. And notice what he says in the next phrase. God will supply all your need. All your need. Notice that Paul didn't say all your wants. He didn't say all of your wishes and desires. Or all that you think you deserve. God isn't a genie in a bottle. He is the Almighty, Sovereign, Living God. Paul said, all your need. God supplies our need in his perfect timing and good providence. And it is clear here in this verse that Paul was speaking of his provision primarily to the corporate body. God knew the needs of the Philippian congregation. My friends, he knows the needs of New Braunfels OPC. He knew the need of the Philippian saints and promised to supply it, not in a general sense, not in a shotgun blast of aid, but as the church met together and carried out God's work, God would take care of all their needs. He knew every one of them. And as we are doing his work together, he will take care of every one of our needs as well. Beloved, Scripture teaches us that it is also true that God intimately knows our personal needs as well. What needs do you have today? Perhaps you are sitting here and you have family needs and things that are in need of repair. Perhaps you look at your family and you find your hopes and dreams have been dashed and you have great need there. Can God supply your need? Yes, he can and he will. Maybe you have financial needs. Maybe you have financial abundance, but have a need for the Lord to direct you in the skills of being a good steward with what he has given you. Maybe you have physical or medical needs. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have emotional struggles. Maybe you're stressed out to the max. Maybe you're angry, sad, fearful, or depressed. When you consider all that is happening in your life and in your mind right now, you feel the weight of it all and you wonder, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get out from under this. Can God supply my need? Yes. Yes, beloved. Look to the promise. God can supply and will supply all of your need. You know, we often also need God to show us our needs. We have long lists and weighty matters that are on our minds and that we're wading through, and we need him to help us to know what truly is and isn't a need. And so what do we do with those situations and things that aren't truly needs? We must ask him for light to the path, patience, strength to endure, for grace to submit to his will in that situation, and for hope in the midst of what may otherwise be hopeless. I think Charles Spurgeon said it well. He said, "On a tradesman's table, I noticed a book labeled Want Book." What a practical suggestion for a man of prayer, Spurgeon said. He should put down all his needs on the tablets of his heart and then present his want book to his God. If we knew all our need, what a large want book we should require. How comforting to know that Jesus has a supply book which exactly meets our want book. Promises, providences, and divine visitations combine to meet the necessities of all the faithful. I think Spurgeon got it right. And indeed, in his day, want was a need, right? But God's providence, God's promises, he indeed will carry out. You can take it to the bank. He will meet the needs and the necessities of his people. But Paul then goes on to explain how our need will be supplied. He says, according to his riches in glory. God's supply will be sufficient. God's supply will be sufficient. We don't need to scratch our heads and to wonder, is he going to be able to do everything? Is he going to be able to finish the job completely? Because I've got a huge need, Lord. His supply will be sufficient. Sinclair Ferguson said, God's people giving to God's glory will never lack God's supply. Here, according to means in proportion to, in keeping with his riches. Paul isn't saying that God will only give out of a portion of his riches, but God will give in proportion to his riches. In other words, as God's riches are limitless and vast, he will give generously and lavishly. Paul was well familiar and in awe of the glorious riches of God. And he spoke much of these riches to the church in Ephesus. And if you want, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. There we read, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in verse 18 of that same chapter, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says there that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So far, do you see the beauties here, beloved? The riches of his grace, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 16 of this same chapter, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Again, wonderful, wonderful riches. Is it any wonder in Romans 11 that after Paul presented the doctrine of salvation and God's work among the Jews and the Gentiles, that he would exclaim, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul was well saturated, well taught, well experienced in God's riches. And he could but not exclaim and to praise the Lord for the depth and the wonder of these riches, indeed in the wisdom and knowledge of God. But Paul here speaks to the Philippians of God's riches and glory. And so when Paul speaks to riches and glory, is he speaking of future riches, our reward in heaven, or those given in this life? I believe Paul here speaks to God's supply in this life. It is true that we will receive a rich reward in heaven. However, Paul was encouraging the saints in the glorious manner in which God would meet their needs, as they had supplied for Paul's. John Calvin commented similarly when he said, they had therefore been truly sowing in the Lord's field, from which a sure and abundant harvest might be expected. Nor did he promise them merely a reward in the future life, but even in respect of the necessities of the present life. God was with them. He would provide and supply all their need. There is also an aspect in which In Glory speaks to the security of God's heavenly riches and the place from where God dispenses them. Matthew Henry described this as Paul, as it were, drawing a bill upon the exchequer or the bank in heaven and leaving it to God to make them amends for the kindness that they had shown him. Beloved, God's riches are completely secure. Nothing can affect them. Nothing can depreciate them. They are abundant. They are immeasurable. They are unfathomable. And our God will fill our needs. And so Paul says that God does so in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ is essential and wonderful for us to understand. We see this phrase many times in Scripture. And sometimes we may kind of pass over it. We grasp it. We get it. We're in Christ. But do we really get it here? Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 3, that God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God's riches are dispensed to us through the mediation of and by virtue of our communion with Christ. And so as you walk through your days and weeks, supply needy. Know that your God stands supply ready. He delights in you as his child. He delights in giving you good things and providing for all your needs. Remember, as we as a church walk together doing the work of the Lord, he promises to provide for all of our needs corporately as well. May we bring our needs before him with eager expectation as we look forward to how he will care for us according to his perfect will. But also, my friends, take comfort. Take comfort that the Lord's supply never runs low. It never runs out. It is like an ever full ocean, deep and abounding, full, immeasurable. But also, take great joy for the salvation that is yours in Christ. Praise him that you are in Christ. Forget not all his benefits. And be thankful that God has chosen you to be his, that he has brought you from death to life, giving you new life in Christ. Praise him for that. I pray that God will give us much grace to go forth and indeed to serve him well, to have our eyes and our minds open to this truth and reality of his all-sufficiency, of his perfect supply, of his good, good providence for us. Every step, in every way, in every situation. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray.